thank you very much for your questions.
Yeah, we'll talk later. I have to disagree. I'm going to try to use the mouse.
Okay, so we move on to our next speaker, Thomas Levinsky, from Hong Kong. So he's talking about QED, he says, prevention of drinking water in the developing world. So here's that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, my name is Thomas Levinsky. Can you all hear me? Okay. I'm an American living in Hong Kong, and I'm going to present a talk, what I call QED, Disinfection of Drinking Water in the Developing World. Introduction. World Health Organization estimates 1 billion people in the developing world do not have access to safe drinking water. And here you can see a World Water Day advertisement saying the same thing. Here you see a West African having water in his hand. And there's different bacteria. This is E. coli, which we have in the U.S. Salmonella, also in the U.S. Schistosoma, these are flat particles. Cholera, in Hong Kong we have this. And hepatitis A, also in Hong Kong. So you can see the water throughout the world is not exactly clean. Here I show a West African boy drinking water out of an aluminum bowl. And you can see, if you look carefully, it's not also very clean. In the developing world, electricity to boil water, as in China, is not available. Throughout China, all the water is boiled, no matter where you go, in Hong Kong or anywhere in China. They always boil the water. But bottled water, if it's available, and again, the developing world, is too costly. And boiling water by building a fire would work, but it's not convenient in West Africa. I think you can all agree with that. So what do you do? What can you do here? Proposal. QED-induced EM radiation from body heat in handheld nano-coated aluminum bowls provides UVC to inexpensively disinfect water without electricity. And here I show an aluminum bowl with UV coming out of the inside surface. I have a few of these here. This is the aluminum size. This is maybe for small children. This is stainless steel. So basically, you put the water in. This is again for drinking. And QED here that I'm referring to is quantum electrodynamics, EM electromagnetic. The UVC here is ultraviolet radiation at 254 nanometers. Operating principle, QED converts the body heat from the hand holding the ball to UVC radiation because the temperature of the nanocoating cannot increase by QM. And QM here will be quantum mechanics. The modes of heat transfer, you all know there's three modes: conduction, radiation, and convection. We all know this. But I'm going to propose here there's really a fourth mode, and it's QED. And you'll see the effect as I go on. Now, the fourth mode of heat transfer, here I try to illustrate it. Here's a substrate of some sort. I show body heat coming in, could be any form of heat. Now if you have a macro coating on here, you know the temperature will increase, and the only way you can lose heat here is by natural convection. Again, you all know this. However, if you put a nano coating on, less than 100 nanometers, it's a brand new ball game. There's no temperature increase, and you produce what I call QED radiation. And basically, the nanocoating conserves the body heat without temperature increase. The QED radiation bypasses natural convection and enhances the heat transfer. Theory, briefly, heat capacity of the atom, conservation of energy, TIR confinement, and refractive index. Now here I show the heat capacity of the atom. This on the ordinate here is the Planck energy of the atom in electron volts. This is the thermal wavelength in microns. And on the right here you see the KT energy of the atom at room temperature, which you all know is 0258 electron volts. Now, this white line going all the way across is classical physics. There you have molecular dynamics, COMSOL, ANSYS, etc. When you do classical physics, you assume that the atom always has KT energy from the macroscale way out here to the nanoscale down here. That's what you assume. However, quantum mechanics differs. This is the Einstein-Hoff relationship for the atom as a harmonic oscillator. And if you plot this out at 300 degrees Kelvin, you get this yellow curve. You can see down to about maybe 30, 40 microns, classical physics and quantum mechanics have the same heat capacity. But as you get below that, you can see the heat capacity by quantum mechanics vanishes. Okay? And therefore, you can see a problem with the two presentations that came on before me. When you're very, very small, there is no heat capacity to the atom. Okay? And this is quantum mechanics. Classically, you would not expect that. So what I'd like you to walk away from in this talk is that in nanocoatings, nanoparticles, whatever, the atom has no heat capacity. Very important point. Conservation of energy. Okay, well, if you don't have heat capacity, you can't conserve it by an increase in temperature. What do? Again, you make a proposal here. You can make your own, but somehow you have to conserve that energy. And what I've assumed here, absorbed energy is conserved by creating QED radiation inside the nanocoating by frequency up conversion to its TIR resonance. And TIR here will be total internal reflection. I'll explain this more later, shortly. TIR confinement. If the refractive index of the nanocoating is greater than that of the substrate in the surroundings, the QED radiation will be confined by TIR. Now, nanocoatings have high surface-to-volume ratio, like nanoparticles all have a high surface-to-volume ratio. And because of that, TIR then defines a standing wave inside the coating that is then released as QED radiation. And let me try to explain that a little bit here. Here I show heat coming into a nanocoating thickness D. Now all the energy goes into the surface, right? These are the surfaces. The energy is in the surface. And what happens is that a photon will be created between them with lambda over 2 is a half wavelength of that standing wave photon. It has to be equal to the thickness D. Now that radiation can be completed in the standing wave. And what you can do then is either ionize the atoms, or if you don't ionize the atoms, the energy escapes to the surrounding. Okay? And the equations are simple. Here, frequency F is the frequency of the radiation, velocity of light C divided by refractive index N of the coating divided by lambda, and lambda over 2, as I just described to you, has to be equal to d. E here is the Planck energy of that radiation, is Planck's constant times the frequency f. Now the refractive index, zinc oxide having a refractive index of 2.5 on aluminum, roughly 1, it improved the BHT 4 to 10 times. This work was done at Oregon State University about 5 years ago. And BHT here is boiling heat transfer. And recently, in Korea, Scientific Reports, they used graphene and they laid it on silicon dioxide. That improved the boiling heat transfer by more than 2 times. So you can see this, the effect of QED radiation coming in here. Now the applications, briefly again, analysis, coating selection, body heat, and disinfection dosage. Now this is an example of the radiation that's being emitted. Here's extreme ultraviolet, visible, and infrared. This is coating thickness in nanometers, and I've shown this here for 2 refractive indices, n equal 2 and 4, and for UVC at 254 nanometers, that's 0.254 microns. If you come across, you wind up around 50 nanometers of a material and it has a refractive index close to 2. And what I've been using as a rule of thumb for any disinfection is for UVC, you need a thickness of about 50 nanometers of zinc oxide. Okay. That's a general rule of thumb. And the coating selection, here again, what I have shown here, I show zinc oxide coating on these aluminum balls. But I was in Dubai at another conference, and the address of the subject was Ebola. But as an extension of that, I mentioned disinfection of water. Well, zinc oxide in water, if you're going to drink water, the zinc oxide may be a problem because the zinc can leach out. And this question came up, and that caused me to go back and rethink this. And if I just anodize the aluminum, forget about zinc oxide, I can get a refractive index of 1.42, again on aluminum, n equal to 1. There you need about 90 nanometers of the Al2O3. Now, and currently I'm back and forth between these two. Obviously, this would avoid the toxicity and you can seal it. And I've still not decided what to do here. I'm in a back and forth motion. Or maybe there's a third alternative which I haven't mentioned. Now, body heat. Each of us emit about 100 watts of power. And the average surface area of an adult man and woman is about 1.75 square meters. And there you get a body heat of around 5.71. Now, this is milliwatts per centimeter squared. And the question you have to ask yourself, can you really disinfect water with this low energy? Very important question. Well, the disinfection dosage, health education and welfare guidelines for UVC light, they recommend 16 millijoules per square centimeter, but it's been increased to around 38 millijoules per square centimeter. So for body heat with this value, right, if I don't lose any of it, the water must be held in the bowl for 7 seconds. So if you take 7 seconds times this number, you get a number greater than 38. Okay? So what this means is the recommendation here is that if you hold the water in the bowl for 10 seconds, you're going to get a dosage of 16 millijoules per centimeter squared, and that's more than sufficient. I've gone a step further here. This is all the bacteria that are known. These are spores, protozoa, virus, and yeast. Now, the units here are microwatt seconds per centimeter squared. A microwatt second is a microjoule. So to get millijoules, I divide by 1,000. And you can see these numbers are all less than 60. So for body heat for 10 seconds, most of you can eliminate all the bacteria and most of the spores. Not true over here. Extensions. Now this QED that I'm talking about, the applications are not limited to drinking water. Now I've just alluded to Ebola in West Africa. And smartphones are everywhere. And body heat flashlights in Canada. And I'll just briefly, if I may. Here I take the bowl, use the water. Okay, I turn it over, as I show you here. And if I suspect there's Ebola over something, I can just go over it. The radiation still comes out, right? There's no water to drink, so that one's kind of clean. And you turn it over, and the amount of dosage you need to kill the Ebola virus is 0.4 millijoules per centimeter squared. So if I'm emitting 5.71, right, I need only a scan over a surface for less than a second. So just by going over a surface, you're going to solve the Ebola problem. Smartphones are everywhere, especially in Hong Kong, and it's true in Jordan as well. Here you see someone putting his fingers on this. He's transmitting his bacteria to the cell. Now the heat, you add a zinc oxide coating to the touchscreen, the heat from the electronics in the pan will want to come out, and that will disinfect your bacteria in case you want to give your phone to someone else to use. Okay. Now this, I mentioned this, this has nothing to do with disinfection, but it has to do with body heat. This girl, Ann Makosinski, she's a 16-year-old in Canada, and she developed a flashlight that produced body heat from, that produced visible light from body heat. And all she did was buy Peltier cells and a visible LED off the shelf, put them together into this form, and there she shows the flashlight producing light. Now, Google gave her $25,000 in a contest for her education. Very good idea. What this leads to is this. Will QED supersede UVC LED? And I think the answer is yes. We know that LEDs in the visible are very efficient, but in the UVC they're less than 1% efficient. In the QED radiation, all the heat is converted to radiation. So it should be more efficient, but it will take more research and time to prove that. Well, that's the other thing I have a pitch here is if I'm interested in perhaps some collaboration in here. Well, you can see there's so much work here that it's far beyond what I can do. It's just tremendous. And again, with disinfection. And collaboration is solicited, or if you want, just do it yourself. You have the physics, it's very simple. You can build some of these and test it. Maybe you can make some money. Well, that's all I have. This is my email address, and this is my home page. This presentation is on my home page, so you can look at it if you so desire. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
Yes.
This is absolutely marvelous.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
It's big.
It is big. It's beyond. If you can help me out, maybe if you were younger, I'd really. But I'm an old man myself. So, but if the young students, if they could pick up on this, here in Jordan, what I learned, I went on a brief tour, but there's no water here. So whatever water you have, if it needs disinfected, it's very important.
So my question is this, I already asked the question, I just commented. Okay. did you patent this idea?
No, I'm an American. And we know in America, the guy who has the money wins. So no matter what you do, you have to defend it in court. And really, there's nothing to patent. This is a physical principle. QED is a physical principle. Even if I tried to patent that, it wouldn't work. Patent office wouldn't give it. It's like trying to patent Newton's second law. You can't do that.
But it's a process.
But the process...
Not the idea.
What I'm having trouble with is putting a 50 nanometer zinc oxide coating on you. That is not easy to do.
There you go.
That process could be patented.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean.
And I don't know how to do it, therefore I cannot patent it.
Well, I'm sorry to say that you're missing a big boat here.
Huh? Why?
You can make a lot of money out of it.
Yeah, but if I have money to defend it, you understand? What I've presented to you is very big. I know that. And because it's so big, anyone with money that wants it is going to try to take it. And I don't have the money to defend that. So I leave it go at that and let it be.
I understand. Very simple comment. That's why there are venture capitalists. You want the money, I understand. But you got the idea.
I'm having trouble. I wish I had some funding. I'm going to Geneva in a month on another conference, and it's supposed to be innovation. So they act like they give you money, and maybe I will get some there. So I'm looking around. Okay, I understand what you're saying.
I have a very naive question. What exactly kills bacteria?
The UV, UVC.
It should be interacting with water, you know?
Yes, of course.
Before it kills bacteria. So that's
you got to remember, these are small volumes of water.
Yeah.
So the radiation will be absorbed in the water, but UV without a lot of particles, and it passes for 50 meters, you know, this is not the problem. Well, there's not a lot of water to disinfect. That's the basic argument. If I had tried to put my hands around a big bowl like I showed you that boy in West Africa drink, that wouldn't work because there's a lot of water in there, right? He only has so much heat in his hand. But in a small volume, it's almost undefiable that you would have a problem.
Thomas, for a big bowl, you can come up with some solar energy heat production or something in this fashion.
But there's no electricity there. You got to remember, in America, we have, in China, even in China, it's not as developed as the United States, there's electricity everywhere. They boil water everywhere.
They're using the solar system, solar energy.
Well, it's difficult. You have to come up with a device. I don't think there's anything simpler than body heat.
But the idea, it's very innovative. It's the question to try to invest now into many different directions.
Well, like I say, on the cell phones, the touch screens, all you have to do is put 50... You can disinfect it. In Hong Kong, I didn't show this, I didn't think I had time, but you were on the subway in Hong Kong and in Dubai. They have poles with the flourishes. You grab a pole. Well, when you grab the pole, someone else had his hands on it. Right? So I proposed in Hong Kong that they put an electrical heater down the inside. It's no problem. But you have to put the nano coating on. Okay, so again, the applications are just...
So should it be a bowl or just can be a pipe? Okay.
Well,
this coating and this pipe in the roof of our home with the same coating will do the job?
No, it doesn't have to be a bowl. The bowl came from disinfection of water. You can disinfect Ebola with a flat surface, right? You put you don't need a curb. The drinking water, you got to hold the water somehow, right? And again, with regard to your talk and Professor Zoshin, the problem I had with the mathematics that was presented is classical physics. And quantum mechanics will give you a talk. You have to somehow get rid of the temperature effect and replace it by something else. Now, I have done that with molecular dynamics. In Hong Kong, I gave a paper, and it's on my home page, in 2013, where I go through molecular dynamics with and without quantum mechanics, and there's a big difference. So what you have to do is the energy goes in there, no temperature change occurs, and you're going to produce this radiation. Well, the radiation can charge the atoms, right? You get a repulsion between the atoms, and if that's not enough, it's lost to the surrounding. And that repulsion between the atoms makes the response significant. Georgia Tech, they took a silver nanorod and actually did a tensile test with it. They grabbed it, pulled it, and plotted the stress-strain curve. And it was higher than the bulk. And they tried to explain it. Well, when I saw that, I went back in and did that problem. And the repulsion between the atoms gives you a different stress state than you get in uniaxial. And if you look at the response, very good. So you can modify ANSYS and COMSO and all those programs, of course, but you somehow have to get rid of the temperature effect. And you replace it by something else, and what I replaced it by was the Coulomb repulsion between the atoms. But you see, in ANSYS and COMSO, you don't have that. You're not dealing between atoms, right?
As a final point, there exists some mathematical answers for the A4 and B with Africa.
Once again?
There exists some mathematical modeling and analysis for the Ebola disease. Yeah, it is invented by a group in South Africa between Southern Africa and some Western African countries. And there are some work published already in Ebola.
How do they?
They did some mathematical modeling using time-dependent equations, and they studied the population balance.
Did they show there was disinfection?
I'm not really familiar with their work.
Yeah, if you have a reference, let me...
Yeah, I'll show you that. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. On your particles or something like that. And you don't, there's no heat capacity in your.
Sure.
That's
sure.
The problem.
Sure.
So if you can run the problem and put that energy somewhere else.
Thank you
very much. I appreciate
you. I like the idea. So I would write to you.
Yeah, I
want to talk.
So, you can see I'm going a little ahead. QED radiation. UVC disinfection of Ebola.
Well, Mark will be giving talk this afternoon. He's in biomedical.
Okay.
And let's see whether he can link a little bit and then do something.
Yeah, thank you. Think about it. With molecular dynamics, see, I can put a Coulomb repulsion between the atoms,
sure,
in the MD model, but in ANSYS and COMSO, I don't know how to do that. Although I know a lot about ANSYS, they don't do that.
Sure.
If you could somehow... I don't see how you could do it at all. Because you have to get down to the atomic level and put the repulsion between all atoms to undergo repulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do the MD simulation, you'll find a big difference. It no longer is uniaxial. You get a triaxial thing. Look at my home page and look at
I won.
2013 in Hong Kong.
Okay.
It's an ASME conference.
Okay. ASME. Okay.
And I present the reasoning in
Singapore. Is it Singapore or Hong Kong?
No, I don't know where this came from. I'm Hong Kong.
I mean,
I don't look Singaporean.
These people, rural areas, they don't have even filters. I wonder
they
how
they
get rid of these particles. If it's a shallow water, it's not a matter of bacteria only. There are many other.
Well, of course.
Sir, I think that we need to
go for
because
lunch.
Otherwise.
No, I have to. Yeah.
I have something to discuss with you, but I will do
yeah,
it
yeah,
later.
Yeah, yeah,
later. I really like your talk. It's, you know, to me, it's already worth having attended the conference, just listening to your talk and the
well,
idea, because it's potentially disruptive. But, sorry, I didn't get your name.
Dennis.
I'm Ned Jelani.
I'm Ned. How are you?
But Dennis Sutton makes a very good point, because from viewpoint of Pat, because even if one is not interested in pursuing the commercial aspect, what patenting does, it provides you the credibility and the resources to actually be able to carry out the idea.
Of course.
To see it to fruition, which is, I think, what you're interested in.
Of course. You have to understand, there's a lot of opposition, because the UV group is against it, because I'm telling them they don't need LEDs.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear. You have to understand.
There are companies, for example, I know a company in Cap. By the way, the Anna Makarinsky is the daughter of one of my colleagues.
Oh?
Yeah. So
you're kidding me.
Yeah, I'm from the University of Victoria. So.
Yucky, are you? Well, I sent her an email, but it never.
Yeah. Well,
I'm coming.
I can put you in. Now, there's another company in Canada, for example, that has expertise in UV treatment. It's called Frozen Technology. I would imagine that any company that's in the field would love to talk about something that's
well,
energetic.
If you can make some connections for me, I would deeply.
One of my ex-postdocs worked.
Yeah, let's go.
I wanted to ask. Have you done some preliminary bacterial analysis?
No. There's work.
I mean, that's not very difficult, right?
No, actually, if you have the. Most of the universities could do it. They could lay down. Well, on a curved surface, it's difficult. But.
Well, you can. With the water, once it's been heated. You can artificially put water with certain bacterial kinds.
Oh yeah,
And then just sort of.
Therefore, I can get that tested in Hong Kong, but
yeah.
I have to get the coating on.
That's
I have to get the coating on, which is not easy.
Okay, so you don't have yet the device with the coating on.
No.
Okay.
What I've shown you here is just a device. I'm in the process. That people say they'll do it, but. And it takes money.
Some colleagues who specialize in chemistry on thin films. I mean, I don't know whether they would be able to come up with something that's efficient for coating zinc oxide. Well, not zinc oxide. But they're very interesting.
Well, I got into this. I got into this because. I worked with Ansys my whole life, and once I kind of retired, I went.
I worked to pick up the job at table
outside.
Would you like to join us tonight for a group?
I have. The problem I have is I can't. I have.
Somebody will take your.
Will they pick me up?
You will join us to Amman. Somebody or try to find somebody to take you back to Amman.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would go.
You're staying here in Madhava.
Yeah, Madhava.
You just leave it here. I'll check it out. Anyway, his that my car.
Well, you're giving a talk here, right?
Yeah, I'm giving
okay,
a talk.
I saw your name on the. Okay. I think I have some cards.
I dropped it down at your website. I guess I can get the information.
This is from 2014, but the home page is correct. You can go on my home page.
Yeah, I took notes of the nano cube.
But all this presentation on particles that are less than 1 micron, and, yeah, but they stop their data. They come down to 1 micron and they stop.
No, I think though that issue, the point that he was making is that you know, with the particle density distributions, 99% of the particles are actually at sizes above 10 microns.
When they start, so they all, but they have to become little ones,
exactly,
right?
And you know, he was making the fair point that what he was focusing on is, you know, not solving the whole person. So I think it's an interesting scientific thing, but it doesn't.
It would
of course,
seem
it
to
doesn't,
me if I was
it doesn't
making,
tie up all these loose strings.
I would make nanoparticles and inject them. I wouldn't inject.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Why would you inject?
No, that's what I would try to do, because of course, you know, you
want to inject nanoparticles, not microns. So what I'm saying is, it's a big difference in the analysis. The equation he showed there, it's a classical equation, and he showed a finite specific heat.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist. The radiation will come off. Okay.
Radiation will always come off.
Well, but if it's so, no, well, there's different forms of radiation. There's thermal, Stefan Boltzmann type. That, get that. When you're at the nanoscale, it's coming off by QED. It's a high frequency. I record myself.